Hello, you're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm Laura Evans and this is the Brighton Business Show. Broadcasting monthly, you can hear from local entrepreneurs, find out about schemes you could be taking advantage of, hear about events you might want to attend and pick up tips from business experts. Our sponsor is Plus Accounting, and on today's show, two businesses are having a go at the elevator pitch challenge. Kelvin Newman is talking about the legendary Brighton SEO. Joe Ivans from Impetus is talking about their new campaign and how your business can get involved, plus reports from local events and opinions of local business people. Right, let's kick off with some local business news. Send me your news, tweet me at Laura of Brighton or use the form on the show page and let me know what's going on with you and maybe you can come on the show and talk about it. Coastal Capital have released their business grants. These are for small or medium-sized businesses planning to grow and to create new jobs but not finding it easy to raise the finance required. The grant is for up to 40% of a project, so that's free money, you don't have to pay a grant back. To find out more, see whether you are eligible, and to fill out your expression of interest, visit coast2capital.org.uk for more details, and that's the number two, so coast number two capital. And I know these do go quickly, because, you know, hey, free money, great. Penina Shepherd of Acumen Business Law is celebrating the launch of her first book, The Freedom Revolution, Break the Business Shackles and Join the Revolution. She shares her compelling story and approach to being remarkable. It's an inspirational book to help you get started on your journey. Find it on Amazon right now. Chimera Communications are running courses that cover a range of communications-related topics to help you and your team be better equipped. Everything from content marketing to Google Analytics, even photography and a lot more. Do check out the range of courses. They're at chimeracoms.co.uk. Langham Brewery, an award-winning independent West Sussex brewery producing cask-conditioned real ale, have launched their new website and branding. See that at langhambrewery.co.uk. I did hear some talk of ale giveaways, but I'm not sure if that's still going on, but go and visit to find out. Radio Reverb are moving, so we're moving the whole studio. It's upping sticks, and we're going to the open market on London Road. If you would like to support the station, your station, which is run by volunteers, funded by generous sponsors and donations, please visit radioreverb.com. It's quick and easy to make a donation there, and it's much appreciated too. Send me your news. Give me a tweet at Laura of Brighton. That's the best way. There's a whole page about getting involved with the show at my website at lauraofbrighton.co.uk if you want to know more. And let's get you on. Let's talk about your news or maybe even have you on or come along to an event and report from there. Radio Reverb. Time for the elevator pitch. So brave guests have 1 minute to tell you their elevator pitch. That's who they are, what they do, and why you should be interested in finding out a bit more about them. And before me, I have two lovely guests ready to take on the challenge. You only have a minute. I hope you've been practicing.
Yes.
Yes. Guest number one, are you ready?
Ready.
Right, ready, set, go.
Hi, I'm Ben Robson, co-founder of Brighton-based digital marketing agency GOAT. GOAT stands for greatest of all time. Derived from sports and hip-hop culture, it's our bold way of describing how good we are at what we do. We specialise in helping businesses of all shapes and sizes be more visible and engaging online. Work with us to attract more of your target customers to your website, converting them into sales and leads when they get there. We're a small team, meaning fast turnaround on projects, affordable expertise, and a feeling you're working with a true partner. With 18 years experience, we're super creative, friendly, and approachable, and put a real focus on delivering impactful results. We also believe in the importance of doing good in the world and working closely within the community. We're currently offering free SEO and social media health checks to everyone. Get yours today and grow your business online. Visit workwithgoat.com or call us on 01273 805 499. Thank you.
Oh, you've got 10 seconds. 10 seconds.
Yeah, Philip, come work with us. Work with Goat. Goat, goat, goat.
That was brilliant. Work with us, yeah. That's my kind of elevator pitch.
Thank you. I think that was quicker than in practice, so yeah, good.
Yeah, did you feel the adrenaline?
I did, yeah. Heart thought I was going to pass out, but yeah, done it. Thanks.
Brilliant. Okay, guest number two, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, ready, set, go.
Why would anyone invest in the restaurant industry with 60% of new businesses failing in their first year and often needing a six-figure startup investment? But what if you could reduce those risks by lean testing through street food? It's worked for Pizza Pilgrims with five London restaurants and more to follow, and for Meat Liquor with eight sites across the UK and in Singapore, achieving an annual turnover of £15 million. I'm David Toscano from Chin Chin, and this is the path to market that my business is already taking. Since 2013, Chin Chin has been serving fresh, seasonal Italian dishes, cocktails and Prosecco at street food markets, branded events and pop-up restaurants. We've partnered with brands like Birra Moretti, Brighton Festival and Jamie Oliver's Big Festival, growing our key customer base of young professionals aged 25 to 44. This group represents 40% of the Brighton population, well above the national average. And having turned over more than £50,000 this year, we're looking for investment and support to secure our first restaurant site here in Brighton and to scale from there to London and beyond. Chin Chin, it's Italian for cheers.
Hey!
Hey! The big Italian A at the end.
Well done. That was bang on. That was
thank you very much.
Spot on. So you both have some quite unusual names for your companies. So Ben, what's Goat all about?
Well, Goat, yeah. So it's me and another guy called Ben as well. And we came up with the name from, as I said, from sports and hip-hop culture. So for greatest of all time. Often describing the best players, for example, in sport.
No pressure then.
No, exactly, yeah. And sometimes I have to say, like, even though we are amazing at what we do, because we're very British, you have to go like, oh, it's, you know, tongue-in-cheek for greatest of all time. Whereas if we were in America, we'd be like, yeah, we're greatest of all time. So, yeah, the name came out of... No doubt, yeah. The name came out of a brainstorming session that lasted probably about 5 hours, and at one stage I had to leave my co-founder's house when the suggestion was Value Ant. So I'm pretty glad we went with Goat, and it seems to stand out. People seem to remember it.
I like Goat. There's a lot of potential for some interesting marketing with live goats.
Exactly.
Taking to events. There was a very popular game out, I think it was a couple of years ago, the Goat Simulator.
Yes, yes.
Is that an all an influence?
Amazing. Probably, yeah, subliminally. It was. I'd done well to say that word. But I think that probably had some influence without us knowing.
And David, of course, yours is, you just said it's cheers.
Yeah, so it's Italian for cheers. I kind of came up with the idea for this business in 2012 and decided to go with a street food van. At that time, street food was very, very masculine, very burgers and hot dogs and southern barbecue and that sort of thing. And I wanted to do something a little bit different and came up with this idea to have a street food van that did Italian antipasti and Prosecco. I did have a brainstorming session. Actually, I ran a little competition with my friends on Facebook to offer them a year's worth of food and Prosecco from whatever the business became if they came up with the name, and got some good names, but I ended up coming up with this one myself. I just saw it in a magazine. I think I was on a flight somewhere, and I just popped in my head and thought, yeah, that's what it's got to be. Italian for cheers, chin chin.
Mm. And I've seen your van. It's cool retro.
Yeah,
van.
It's a 1972 Fiat van. It was an ice cream van about 20 years ago in Leicester somewhere, I think, from what I can work out. But we've converted it into a street food van. We've done all sorts of events across London, South East. I've done stuff as far as Somerset, and even I didn't take the van to Edinburgh, but we've done events in Edinburgh as well with Birra Moretti. So all around now, I just need, just trying to get over the line to secure our first site for bricks and mortar, a retail site here in Brighton.
it's very exciting, like watching your business, because you know, I know that you've gone full time quite recently, but I mean, you're not scared of hard work, are you? You're a full time lawyer.
I was a full time lawyer till Christmas, but I've chucked that in for this.
Whilst you were setting up your business and having a baby.
Yes.
You're a busy guy.
Yeah. Sleep is for the weak, you know. John Bon Jovi, sleep when I'm dead and all that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, like, life's too short to sit around and wait and think, oh, maybe I should have done this or I could have been good at that. I just want to jump in with both feet and I'm you know, I love this concept. It's what I've grown up with, having Italian parentage, so I'm sure I'm going to make it work.
And Ben, how long have you been going with your business?
We started up last November, so we both come from bigger agencies and just got to the point where we really wanted to offer solutions to clients that were more fitting to what they actually needed. It's quite often in a bigger agency, a client can sometimes get lost once an agency grows over a certain size. They maybe don't get the service that's perfect for them. You might get like rehashed ideas from another client and use them for them because staff are often under a lot of time pressure. So we sort of want to get away from that, work with a select group of clients. Just generally be more in control of what we're doing. Yeah.
I do think that's one of the best things about kind of going out on your own and having your own business. And we're saying it's very emotional though. On the other side, we were just talking about this before we came on air. Weren't we, that you're very emotionally involved with your business, and I know that you, I bet you both experienced that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like I'm learning fast to just, like you were saying earlier, like switch off from, don't take everything personally. Like,
I'm glad you're learning, because I'm be going 3 years and I'm still very much
struggling. I say I'm learning, but it's easier said than done. But I just think. And it's also important to try and switch off after it's very easy to work sort of all hours as well. So it's important to make sure you've got other things going on, which, obviously you sound like you've got a hell of a lot going on, which is a good thing, I think, really.
I think, because it was interesting what you were saying, David, about how you have this emotional investment. When you're having a good day, it feels great.
Yeah.
And then you've got to maybe have that, like this distance that Ben's talking about, when you have a... You know, not every day is great.
No.
We all know that, running a business.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's part of the allure of being an entrepreneur, really, I think. And that's part of the reason why, you know, I was a lawyer for 15 years and I was bored of law within about 2 years. And it took me that long to convince myself that I could do something else. But once you actually get involved in something that you have a passion for and that you can see growing yourself, that the allure that kind of gets you through those really bad days is those, it doesn't even have to be a really bad day, but the dips in trying to grow a business are measured out by the real rush and adrenaline that you get from just having a little victory. It doesn't have to take very much. Even coming in here, you know, having a good day, a good start to the morning like this definitely helps.
Yay! Yeah. I'm glad that I've brightened up your morning.
Yes, absolutely.
And thank you so much for coming in.
No problem.
As well, like, you guys have been really brave coming in doing the elevator pitch. I know it's a bit scary. If anyone's listening and they want to take on the elevator pitch, do get in touch. You can tweet me at Laura of Brighton or use the form on the show page at radioreverb.com. And get in touch, put yourself forward. It's not that bad, is it, guys?
No, it's fun.
Fine. Do it.
Yeah.
Ben, how can people find out more about you? Just what's your website again?
It's workwithgoat.com.
And David, what about your website?
So my website is chinchin.co.uk, which is chinchin.co.uk.
And do you have any local events coming up in like August, September that we should know about?
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got, 31st of July, we're doing a pop-up at 10 Green Bottles in the Lanes. We're doing a summer three-course lunch with matched Italian wines. Tickets will be on sale through 10 Green Bottles. August, we are... up in London for a run of residency pop-ups in Crystal Palace. But we'll also be doing some more street food stuff down here in Brighton, but I'll get the details all on our website. And then end of August, we're doing Jamie Oliver's Big Festival, which is out in Oxfordshire, but we're doing that with Beer Moretti and pairing Italian cured meats and cheeses with their beers. How
Great.
Can you go wrong?
Tasty.
I will put your details of both of you in the show copy, and do stay in touch with your news.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to keep an eye on you and see what's going on with your businesses. Yeah.
Thanks very much for having us on.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you.
This is Radio Reverb.
This is Radio Reverb. You're listening to the Brighton Business Show, sponsored by Plus Accounting, a local chartered accountant and business development service. I'm Laura Evans, and we're on 97.2 FM, DAB Radio, online at radioreverb.com, or via podcast on iTunes or laura-brighton.podomatic.com. Go and listen to past shows and interviews, pick up hints, tips, and you know, I've been along to meetups and things like that, so they're still going on, so you can go and find out some stuff from that, from historical shows. And again, I've been out and about, so I've been talking to local businesses and getting their opinions. If you see me at an event, don't be shy, come and have a chat with me, and I've usually got my mic in my bag, so you could do something like this. So let's listen to some local opinions. I'm here at the Ride the Wave event, Smart Bidding, to ask people for their top tips for winning that pitch.
I'm Cliff Youngman, Head of Procurement at Brighton and Hove City Council. I think it's about understanding what's in front of you and making sure you don't make assumptions and respond to what we're asking for. What they tend to do is either send in their standard blurb, which you know might be a glossy brochure, it will go straight in the bin. We'll only be looking for answers that we've asked questions to. Always tailor the response to the actual questions. Never use just standard responses, because it won't work.
My name's Lindsay Pickles, and my business is Bright Dials Digital Marketing. The aspect that I learned today from Smart Bidding is applying social value, which seems quite obvious, but actually that was really reinforced by Brighton and Hove Council, to consider how your bid will impact local employment, whether you're sourcing suppliers locally, and the impact it could have on the environment. It seemed from, you know, conversation around the table that was something that people had missed potentially on previous bids. So,
my name is Ian McGill and I run OpenOps.com. My top tip would be, if you're selling to the public sector, government doesn't do one-night stands. So you need to be really in it for the long haul. You need to know that you can provide them with a really good service for 4, 5, 6 years. Whereas private sector buyers can turn up and say, we need this problem solved now, and it will go away. With government, they take a lot more time to make sure you're who you say you are.
Hi, I'm Claire Hutchinson. I'm the category manager from Brighton and Hove City Council. A top tip for winning a pitch would be, if you're unsure, actually get in touch with the buying organisation that's actually sent the tender. Ask the question and get clarity, because then you can respond really fully. It isn't annoying to the buying organisation. We'd much rather have suppliers who understand our requirements and actually submit in a way that we've wanted them to submit, rather than bids coming in and they're not hitting the mark, they're not hitting the spot. Repetition on forms, we often break it up for different evaluators. You might think it's kind of small and insignificant, telling us what you've done for about the 10th time, but actually it might have gone off to the 10th person in the council that it hasn't actually read the 9 other statements beforehand. So it's really important to them. Just answer that question as fully as you can.
Hi, my name's Richard Philp of 1v1.
My top tip for winning a pitch, I think it's got to come down to your personality. You've really got to get yourself across, because as they say, people buy from people. When you look at yourself in the mirror and you say something in the mirror, does it convince you? If it doesn't convince you, how do you expect it to convince someone else?
I'm Jackie Bendell, and I'm a freelance consultant specialising in business writing skills. The main tip I would say would be, think about the evaluators. Think of them as a human being rather than it being a faceless corporation. Make it easy for her to read and get the information that she needs to give you, or he or she needs to give you the marks, so that your bid stands out. And that underlies everything, really.
I'm Miranda Birch, Miranda Birch Media. So my top tip would be, never assume anything about the knowledge of the people you're tendering to. So just state it clearly, because even if you've worked with them before, don't take for granted they know you. You have to be open. And the other thing that really struck me was, don't be frightened to be proactive. So Cliff from Brighton and Hove City Council said, if you think we should be doing something, tell us. Don't just feed us what you think we like. We need to know, because that's how we innovate. And I thought that was really, really interesting.
I'm Ed Hickey. I'm Commercial Director at DAB Apps. I would say getting to know your buyer in advance, so doing your groundwork, your prep, And actually finding out who it is you're bidding on work from, get to know them, understand their pain points, find out what's working today, find out what they're looking for in a supplier. And I think if you do that, you can position yourself very well before the tender comes out.
Thank you to our contributors there. If you think there's something that I should be asking Brighton businesses, let me know and I'll go out and ask a bunch of people what their opinion on that question is. So tweet me at Laura of Brighton or get in contact via the show page at radioreverb.com. You've heard me talk about the legendary Brighton SEO on this show before, usually how the tickets get snapped up in seconds. It's like trying to get Glastonbury tickets. I've been chatting to Kelvin Newman to find out more about their upcoming event in September.
My name's Kelvin Newman and I'm the founder of Brighton SEO, which is a digital marketing conference which takes place twice a year in Brighton. It started out as a few people meeting in an upstairs room of a pub. More people showed up than we had seats, so we moved to a bigger venue, and then more people showed up than we had seats, so we decided we ought to start doing tickets. And kind of from there, it's kind of snowballed really into this kind of quite large tent pole of the search marketing industry. So for a few years, been at the Brighton Dome, which is a great venue in the centre of Brighton. But this September, 2nd of September, we're moving to a new, bigger venue. So we are doubling in size. We're going to be about 3,500 people that we're expecting along on the day there. And yeah, it's shaping up to be a great event. The free tickets that we released to the event sold out in 13 minutes, which is kind of sort of mind-blowing. And there's people coming from all over the UK, all over Europe, and increasingly from all over the world. You know, quite a lot of people making that transatlantic trip to come over to Brighton to learn about search marketing and how they can get their websites to do better on Google and the other search engines. We never set out to organise a big search marketing conference. It's always people came along, enjoyed it and said, oh, so what are you doing next time? We just kind of got a bit carried away from that. And yeah, now it's a very different sort of setup. The first one, as I said, the first one that we did in an upstairs room of a pub literally was a projector set up onto a whiteboard that was balanced on a suitcase in the corner. And yeah, it's kind of the completely professional and super, you know, polished experience now. But we try to keep as much of that kind of personality, that ethos that we always had. And, you know, that kind of comes in a variety of different ways. So, you know, we'll do things like, you know, we'll actually try and put a bit of personality into the, you know, the emails that we send. We'll do stupid intro videos where, you know, we'll buy people's time off a dodgy internet freelancing website and get them to record stupid messages about, you know, Brighton SEO for people who don't really know much about the event. And it's all just about kind of, you know, we're relaxed. And I think a lot of the people who work in marketing are kind of creative, inventive, imaginative people. And it's always surprised me that events targeted at those people can be so dull. And, you know, that's always what we've been kind of set up in, you know, tension against, is this kind of, you know, why for such a creative industry, which is marketing, why do we have to go to a boring, identikit hotel, pay 1,500 quid for the pleasure, and then just kind of, you know, run talks which might have been the same last year or certainly is the same as, you know, dozens of other events. You know, a lot of these other businesses, they tour the world with very similar lineups of speakers. And we've always been, well, how do we get people to speak who've never spoken before? How do we program things that are surprising? How do we, you know, get people to enjoy Brighton? You know, we've always made this joke about being a Brightonian kind of conference. And, you know, we try to bring some of that personality of the city, apply that to the world of search marketing. And it seems to be quite a good recipe. People come for the networking. They come to meet other people. And we try to sort of, you know, help that process as long as much as we can. I mean, we'll do things like, so the upcoming one, you know, we'll do standard things like, you know, we have air hockey, table football and all of that kind of thing, as well as the arcade machines. We get the guys exploring sensors, who are a really interesting local organisation who do things like toy hacking, where you can glue gun a Barbie head to the body of a dinosaur and all kinds of stuff like that. We're doing things like a tie-dye workshop, you know, all kinds of different things really. They're just about taking a step away from the office, trying things out, meeting new people, and hopefully you go back to the office reinvigorated and, you know, excited about trying new things. And yeah, people come down and they go to all the pubs and bars and restaurants as well. We don't lay on lunch for people, and partially that's to make the event free, but partially it's also to say, so often you'll go to an event and you'll lock yourself inside a room for 7 hours and never go outside and never see the place that you're going to. What we want people to do is come down to Brighton, stay for a couple of nights, you know, experience the great places to eat, places to go, to drink and all of that kind of thing. And it's quite nice as well that we're kind of this time round at the start of the Brighton Digital Festival, which is kind of a great opportunity for people maybe to stay on for a few days and experience a little bit more of what Brighton's got to offer around kind of the art and culture stuff that sort of sits in that programme as well. So you've got the conference, which is really good for like covering a variety of different topics. Whereas with the training, you can delve deep. We've got 18 different courses this time around, which is a big number. There might only be, 50 people in the country who really want to know how to make sure their products, when they put them on Amazon, do really well on Amazon search. But those 50 people are going to be at Brighton SEO. So we put on a training course where we get a trainer who knows about that. And we do things like local, we do things like international. We've got like, we even break out like the difference between trying to get your app to do well on iTunes Store versus trying to get your mobile website to do well on mobile search. And you know, it's just this kind of opportunity to bring together people who really want to learn something quite specific, but it's quite business changing. If you can get these things right, get more people downloading your app or more people coming along to your store and making purchases, it's the kind of thing that changes businesses. We're always so lucky to have a great variety of speakers. I think we've got more than 50 this time around, covering loads of different topics. I mean, ones I'm particularly excited about, we've got Paul Curry, who's a developer at BuzzFeed, and he's kind of one of the people who, when they're putting together their interactive games and distractions that they do. So he's going to be talking about the process they go through to produce those types of things. We've also got Stacey Kavanagh, who's a really great speaker from Manchester. Most of the people who attend Brighton SEO come from like really businesses that want to do well. But there is the world out there of some of the kind of more spammy ways in which people try to market themselves online. And now what Stacey's going to do is take some of those lessons and make them safe, make them fair, make them all within Google's guidelines. What can we learn from those? And another one that I'm really looking forward to is a chap called Will Critchlow. And they've been doing lots of experiments to try things out to see if you change this on your website, will you rank better on Google? And lots of people have tried these things at a small scale in the past, these kind of tests, but they've really, you know, taken the proper scientific process behind that. And I'm really excited to hear some of the findings that they've got. If you're trying to pull together a list of speakers or people who want to share some knowledge, they need to, first of all, reflect the audience that we've got. And it's easy, I'll admit, sometimes to kind of take a safe option and just program the same people who you would get at other events. That's never been our approach. You know, we want the best speakers we can possibly find, but we want new speakers. Best outcome for me is where someone comes along to an event and says, oh, I wasn't expecting that. That can come for a variety of reasons. You know, sometimes it's, you know, because they come from a different background to them, they come from a different sector to them. Everyone brings their own personal perspective. But there's always more work to do. You know, I don't think that many event organisers would say that they truly reflect the diversity of all of their audience, and it's something we try to do. The reason we do that is because we want the best people, and the best people don't all look the same, and they don't all sound the same, and they don't all come from the same kind of organisations. So we try and mix that up as much as we can. We try and do better, but you know, I think we consider it in a way I think sometimes some people don't.
What's the furthest that someone's come?
I think Australia is the one that I'm still most impressed by. I've got to be honest, I think she was on a holiday and kind of used that to kind of subsidise her holiday over here to the UK. More and more people are coming across the Atlantic. You know, we've always had lots of people from Holland and France and Spain, but we're getting more from Italy. You know, lots of people coming over from Israel. Romania seems to be a country that we're doing particularly well in. I kind of like this, people coming to the UK and getting a bit of a feel of what it's like down here on the South Coast that I love. And, you know, lots of people then move down here. There's something about the place that seems to lend itself to digital, to marketing, and particularly search marketing. If you were to look at the top 100 search agencies, you know, London would be the biggest city, then maybe Manchester. Brighton certainly would be getting pretty close to that. There's a pattern of evolution of marketing in search that's kind of gone on, and you know, the Brighton businesses have often been at the vanguard of that. So things that, you know, were quite innovative and exciting and people are doing now and talking about being the next big thing, a lot of the Brighton agencies were doing a couple of years ago. We've got this reputation for giving away stupid prizes. The last time we tried to give away a speedboat, which essentially was a very large inflatable dinghy. But the best one of those were, we had a competition on stage. This is the stage where ABBA won Eurovision, and we had a Street Fighter 2 competition between someone who'd never played Street Fighter before and someone who played it a reasonable amount. The person who'd never played Street Fighter before won, and then proceeded to win an arcade machine. Now, this is an old-fashioned one, which is essentially like a big CRT TV, you know, kind of a 32-inch telly in a cupboard. Went to deliver that, tried to lift this glorified cupboard up about 5 flights of stairs and managed to get up 2 steps. And then we decided we're going to leave it on the ground floor. But that, you know, it's definitely one that I'll always remember, trying to shift out this huge wooden monstrosity into that space when someone had won it just by putting their hand up and making a bit of a mistake to volunteer. Any business that is interested in getting more traffic, more business, more leads from the search engines, particularly Google, can learn from search marketing. And we cover a variety of different topics. So there's things like social media, there's things like paid search, display, PR. All of these are areas that kind of overlap with search. I think any business that wants to get more attention needs to be thinking about how they appear in search. There's a huge amount of detail. You know, there's people who work on websites that make millions of pounds a year from the traffic they get from Google, and for them being 1% better is huge. But actually there's a lot of people who attend who have knocked up a website themselves and are just kind of asking themselves, well, how do I get better at this? And because those free tickets that we have allow people to come along and just learn, you know, that's incredibly powerful. And most rewarding thing is when someone comes back to you a couple of years later and said, I went to the event, I changed a few bits on my website, I got my first big, you know, commission if they're an artist, or my first big deal if they're a professional services person, and that set them up really nicely. Or people who, you know, came along, learned a bit, dropped that into a job interview question, and then ended up with a really good job off the back of it. That's what's gratifying, is helping people progress in their business, in their career, and in their life. We have these kind of friend tickets, which are worth exploring. They're kind of VIP tickets where you get, you know, a t-shirt and a wristband that gets you reserved seating down the front and VIP Wi-Fi and all those kind of things. There's a few of those still available. They're about kind of £50. And we've also got the training ones. So that turns it into a 2-day event, and you can have that real in-depth training. There's a beginner's SEO one that's shaping up to be quite nice there. So you do a day of training and then a day of the conference as well. But we do it twice a year. So the April one will be around soon, and we'll be releasing tickets for that probably mid-September. So it's brightonseo.com. There's an opportunity there on the homepage to sign up for the mailing list. And of course, we're on all the social platforms, but Twitter tends to be our favourite one. Brighton Digital Festival's coming up. Brighton SEO is part of that. There's so many events taking place that give you a real opportunity to learn more about digital. There's some great art installations and projects which are occurring, which will definitely be, you know, worth experiencing. But there's so many business events there as well. You know, if you're looking to get a new job, you're looking to kind of up the levels of skills that you've got, there's so many events taking place during September that you're mad to not try and check a few out.
Tales from the Cab, brought to you by Radio Reverb and Streamline Taxis.
Granddad, who was vice chairman, bought this place in 1945, we think, one room office in Middle Street, number 20 Middle Street, and they came up here. And up there, the top of the building, there was a flat, and they used to rent out the flat. And the radio office used to be in that shop there. And in those days, every rank had a telephone on it. So the operator in there would take a job on the telephone, and the nearest rank, he would buzz it through, and then this orange light would flash. The driver would get out, go to the phone, get the job, put it on, go back in his car, start it up, and go to the job and pick him up. And then, I don't know when it was, but must be early 50s, they had the radio telephones installed in the car. They had radio telephones before Sussex Police had. Going in there as a kid of, what, 5, 6, 7 years old, all you could smell was cigar smoke and brown leather and this enormous oak table they used to sit round. So in those days, every driver had to wear a uniform, black trousers, black jacket, white shirt, black tie, and the peak cap, yeah. You know, the chauffeur's cap. And that didn't change until, well, I don't know, 1970s, something like that.
Would you be up for wearing that now then?
Oh, God, no. I mean, after the Second World War, I'm guessing, all these people came out the forces looking for a job. Because they'd been together like that in the forces, they were still together like that outside the forces. So these football teams, cricket teams, social occasions, darts evenings and that, it's just a thing that moved on from what they were doing. 336, it's
cold. I know you've been listening to Tales from the Cab, brought to you by Streamline Taxis and Radio Reverb.
That's Streamline Taxis, our station sponsor. This is Radio Reverbs, the Brighton Business Show, sponsored by Plus Accounting on 97.2 FM, DAB Radio, online via radioreverb.com, or perhaps you're listening to a podcast on iTunes or laura-brightonpodomatic.com. Don't forget, if you're feeling charitable, please feel free to make a donation to the station at radioreverb.com. So support your station. Anything you can donate is much appreciated. Or perhaps you could become a show sponsor. See the website for more details on that. And talking of charity, I am joined now by Joe Ivins of Impetus. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Tell me a bit more about what Impetus do.
Okay, so Impetus helps vulnerable adults who are dealing with loneliness or isolation in the city and around. It might be because of their age or disability or poor mental or physical health. And we help people by offering befriending, advocacy and other kinds of support services.
And how long have you been doing this?
Well, the charity's been going for about 16 years. And in fact, our befriending work has been going on for that long as well.
Yeah, and it's a serious issue, isn't it? I mean, I read something about they've made this link between loneliness being as bad for your health as smoking.
Yeah, that's right. That's the eye-catching statistic, is that loneliness can be as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
That's a lot.
It is really bad, and there's more studies that show that loneliness has a real negative effect on health, with isolated people being at higher risk of disability or disease and dementia, and that's actually an indicator of real ill health, especially in later life. In fact, recently there's a survey of doctors, and 75% of GPs said that they see up to five people every day whose main reason for their visit is loneliness.
And I'm sure loneliness affects people of all ages.
That's right.
Yeah. I bet it's a particular problem for certain vulnerable groups.
Yeah, that's right. In Brighton, we know that 41% of people over 65 live on their own, and that's actually about 10% higher than the national average. A recent survey, BBC Sussex survey, actually showed that people of all ages, 70% said they'd experienced loneliness in the last year. So it isn't just older people. It does tend to be a bit more prevalent in that group. And we've seen in recent years that actually we think that that's actually getting worse in terms of what people are experiencing. And we've had an increase in people coming to us and people being referred to us for our support.
But it's great then that people have this place that they can reach out to, because that's all very depressing. But you're the other side of this. You're happy side, that you're there and you've decided, you know, 15 years ago, but you're going to do something about it.
That's right. And the Neighbourhood Care Scheme in particular is our kind of flagship befriending scheme that tackles loneliness and isolation. We've got around 300 volunteers visiting around about 300 older people or people with disabilities or people who actually are caring for someone else. So it's a bit of respite for those folks as well. So that's a really simple, and it's very neighbourhood based. It's around your community, and people who volunteer to do this befriending are doing it within their own kind of local sphere, so it helps to build connections in communities as well.
Yeah, charity begins at the home, right?
That's
so
right.
I think if people, you know, if you're looking at the world around you and you're not happy with how things are, you know, why not go out there, do something about it? It sounds like volunteering with you is something that people can do just to make the world a bit of a better place.
Yeah, absolutely. We like to think so, and we've got lots of different volunteer roles. Actually, befriending is just one of the things that we do. We also run other schemes to help connect people to support locally, like called Community Navigation, which links people to other support services in their local area. But actually, anybody who wants to offer us some time is really helpful to us. So people often will give their professional skills, give us kind of pro bono advice around things like, for example, our VAT advisor gives his time for free, which is enormously useful to a charity where every penny really counts, especially in the environment that we're in at the moment.
And I know we're going to talk about one of your campaigns in a second. So businesses can get involved by giving you some kind of help and advice. And, you know, if anyone's listening, we would urge them, wouldn't we, to get in touch?
Absolutely. In a general sense, we'd love to hear from people who are behind what Impetus is trying to do in the city. But as you say, we've got a specific campaign that we just launched last week, which is going to highlight the issues around isolation and loneliness, and there are some real specific ways that businesses could get involved in that.
So tell us about the campaign. What's it called?
It's called the Yellow Rose Campaign. It's a campaign across Brighton and Hove to connect people, to build communities and help to spread awareness around isolation in our city and the surrounding area. And it's also to raise money to help us carry on doing what we do and to do more of what we do. We've chosen the yellow rose as our emblem because a yellow rose symbolises friendship, promise of new beginnings, saying, I care, remember me. So it seemed really really apt for the campaign that we were trying to do.
So what will the campaign actually involve?
So we've just launched it last week, as I say, and we're going to spend the next few weeks talking with you and with others in the press and around and about isolation and loneliness and what we are doing to help and how people can get involved. And on the 30th of July, we're going to be out and about in Brighton, mostly around New Road. The 30th of July is the UN International Day of Friendship every year. This year it happens to fall on a Saturday, so we're going to be in the city centre, handing out yellow roses, talking about what it is that we do, asking people to donate or to get involved as a volunteer. The mayor is coming along to offer his support, as we're one of his chosen charities this year, so you can come along, make friends with the mayor, have a photo, check out his bling.
He will have the best bling as well, won't he?
Yeah. That's right. But the message we're trying to get across is that friendship and befriending and making connections in your community are really key to ending isolation and loneliness. And that actually it's a really simple thing that almost anybody can get involved with.
It seems that Brighton has a very strong sense of community. Like I used to live in Hanover, and even just the idea of like when you have a piece of furniture or something that you're done with, that you put it out the front of the house and everyone knows that they can kind of take that. It just feels like there's that connectedness.
Yeah, and our experience actually, we feel really lucky that we don't... there's more and more demand for what we do, but the people coming forward to help are still coming forward to help. Last year we had a bumper year for recruitment. In fact, in the neighbourhood care scheme we recruited more volunteers than ever before, and in fact this year we've almost met the same number again, so already even this way through the year. So I think you're right that there is a real strong sense in Brighton of not just wanting to be part of a community but wanting to kind of take your own action and what is meaningful for each individual. And that's great for us because we can kind of ride on the back of that and give people opportunities, but also for people to tell us what they would like to do, either within our organisation or what new things we could do together.
And if ever there was a time that we needed to promote friendship and togetherness in a slightly divided country at the moment, this is it really, isn't it?
This is that time. And you know, I'm sure that there's lots to talk about the impact of what's going on at the moment, and I think the impact for charities is likely to be quite severe. But this is why it's even more important for us to kind of reach out to our local community to get people involved with us and keep people involved with us, especially when it comes to supporting the Yellow Rose campaign or the other work that we do, either by giving a donation or if you're a business to get involved to sponsor part of the event. Then that's the kind of thing that is actually really possible for people to do. And one of the things I experience, and I think others perhaps do as well, is the real sense of powerlessness about what's going on kind of in the wider country and the wider world. But this is something that you really can do yourself today if you want to. You know, it feels quite an empowering thing, I think.
And you can literally see the changes.
That's right. And a lot of people will tell us that their befriending relationship is one of the most satisfying things that they do, or they're volunteering with us, often helping people through really difficult issues or really difficult times. And it's not necessarily always an easy thing to do, but it is always extremely rewarding. And a lot of those befriending relationships will last for many years. In fact, this summer one of our befrienders will have been visiting her scheme member for 10 years, and that lady's just about to turn 100, so they've had a really long relationship, actually at a really important time in that person's life, where actually maybe there aren't that many other people around now, you know. So it is enormously rewarding, I think.
And you've mentioned about businesses getting involved, so you've already got some businesses who are involved. Let's give them a plug because they deserve it,
don't
they?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd like to thank Gunn's Florist, who have sponsored the roses for the launch and for the event themselves, and they'll be selling yellow roses in their shops on the day to generate funds for us. And also the Grand is our kind of main selling venue. They're going to be also selling yellow roses and taking donations for us on the day. So that's really fantastic support for us.
And if businesses, if they're listening, they want to get involved, maybe they want to sell some roses for you or make a donation or support you in some way, they should...
Yeah, that's exactly right. We would love businesses to get involved, either to sell roses or badges and lapel pins that we'll provide, either selling them to staff or, if you're a public-facing business, to sell them to the public on our behalf, to make a donation or to sponsor an element of the campaign. All of that stuff would be fantastically helpful for us.
And how can they get in touch or find out more?
So you can get in touch via our website, which is www.bh-impetus.org. I probably said that too quickly. or to info@bh-impetus.org.
And there are a few other ways that you mentioned that people can get involved?
Yep, that's right. So people can show their support via social media. We've got a thunderclap, which will go out on the day to show people's support for the Yellow Rose campaign. You can follow us on Facebook, which is BH Impetus, and again on Twitter is @BH Impetus, or find the thunderclap via our website.
Great. I'm going to go to your website now and sign up for that.
Brilliant, thank you.
I will put all the details in the copy, in the show page. You'll have I'll have the link there. And I almost forgot, how could I forget? You got an award. You got the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service, the best charity award you can get.
That's right. We got the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service, just awarded to us and announced during Volunteers Week. And that is for, again, for the befriending work that we do. It's the highest award that a charity can receive in the UK. So we're enormously proud. There was only, I think, four other organisations in Sussex and Surrey and Brighton and Hove that got that award this year. So we feel very, very proud of that. And it's a real testament to the work that our volunteers do for us. So it's really for them.
You're obviously working very hard, doing really great work in Brighton. Thank you for taking the time out to come in and have a chat with me.
You're welcome. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jo.
Right, time for another report from Out and About Brighton.
Hi, I'm Gail Mann, Head of Enablement for Entrepreneurial Spark. Entrepreneurial Spark, KPMG and NatWest are the three partners that are delivering the Opportunity Knocks events. Opportunity Knocks is a brilliant chance to celebrate the success of the entrepreneurial talent in the local area or the surrounding region, but also a chance to get all the supporters, funders, anybody that can help develop this talent and develop these startups into amazing growth businesses of growth and scale in the area. We don't do enough together. There isn't enough connectivity, and this really is the first step into getting all those people together that can really make a difference for some of these businesses. We had some two really, really inspirational guest speakers this morning, both completely different, both with the same types of messages. You know, you need to push yourself out of your comfort zone, that entrepreneurship is not something that you learn in a book. It's something you do. It's a mindset, it's a behaviour. I think these are some of the messages that we promote at Entrepreneurial Spark.
Hi, my name's Mark Koska. I'm a local guy from Sussex and I run a business, founded a business called Star Syringe Limited, and also run a not-for-profit charity called SafePoint Trust. And I was here today talking about both of those, mentioning both of those, but also about a new project that's coming up that I'm really excited about. What I was really interested in it was the reward that one gets from doing something good and a challenge. So I didn't just want a challenge, I wanted something which was going to help and I could see the results in the real world straight away. One day I was sort of asking myself the question, why am I here? And the answer came back that I should be looking for a big problem. What I needed to do was find a problem and then find my way through it. And I suppose my way of doing that was to study the problem to an unusual degree. It really does help you push your project through. What I wanted to do was always make sure that I was well armed before I went into a meeting, which, if you like, is preparation. And what I find by inventions, not necessarily in medical, but in all spheres, people really have not understood the problem that they're trying to solve. So the solution exists in isolation. It doesn't really tie in with something which is going to be useful. I'm using my sort of 30-odd years of experience now in this new venture. It's called Apiject, which is Latin for bee sting. And I've designed a product which looks quite like a bee sting. It's a little blister with a needle of any length on it, and you basically fill from one direction and squirt the blister, and that causes the injection to take place, just like bees give stings. There is hundreds of advantages from a system like this, but of course, again, we're faced with a huge challenge because we've got this wide horizon of invested and interested people who are going to be against any change. You know, there are people in the glass vial industry now who are protecting a $10 billion a year business, and so they should. And, you know, I realize that they are there. And what can I, over the coming months and years, provide an advantage to them, which is a true advantage, which they will then abandon old technology and take on new. I've actually done this in stealth for about 20 months now. I've gone underground. No, my patent was published 2 weeks ago, and that's why I'm able to now. There's no point in not talking about it. And you never know who you're going to meet at events like this. So it's very important now to get the word out.
My name is Penina Shepherd. I am the author of The Freedom Revolution, the founder of Acumen Business Law, and entrepreneur and a business-holic person. I'm here at Opportunity Knox, which is a fantastic event for entrepreneurs. There's about 200 people in the room, and I was asked to give a talk about thriving on your passion. I'm a huge believer about taking responsibility, because what you'd find is so often, and we all do that, we look at things that we want to achieve and we find reasons, and we normally place them on either on other people or on events as to why we can't do them. So we may say, oh, I really wanted to do something, but because of my wife or my husband or my children, I couldn't do it. Or because of the recession, or because of, you know, my parents weren't very well, or whatever the reason is. And there are always valid reasons. I'm not underestimating the reasons at all. But that you are where you are because of decisions that you take. And if you take full responsibility over that, at first it's a bit scary, but after that you will feel hugely empowered that literally the sky is the limit. The Freedom Revolution is about follow your dream and be financially successful in doing that. So don't be one of these people who are stuck in the rat race that just, you know, have the Sunday night blues, just living from one weekend to another, just living really towards your annual holiday. That's all you live for. And on the other hand, don't be one of these people who live their dream, follow their passion, but have absolutely no money. They're not making money out of it. The Freedom Revolution is about business people who follow their dream and make money. And the thing that stop us from being in that area, in that space, is fear. We are terrified, and fear paralyzes us. I had my list of fears before starting Acumen Business Law. You know, I was a partner and head of department in an established law firm. I was earning a good salary. I had a shoestring budget. I had a young baby. I started the business after giving birth to my third child. So I had a young baby and two young children at home. I was the main breadwinner of the family, so my family was relying on me. I was diagnosed with aggressive cancer and told I may not survive. All that was happening when I made the decision to start the business. So I too had a list of very convincing reasons why, which were really advocated by my fear, why I shouldn't start the business. But all I say about fear is just stop for a minute and ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? And 9 times out of 10, it's not actually that bad. Not bad enough to stop you from following your dream. And then I say, ask yourself a much better question. Well, what's the best that can happen? And then that's when the magic starts. I very recently published The Freedom Revolution. It's already reached number 2 on Amazon bestseller, which makes me very excited. And the essence of The Freedom Revolution is telling the story of this fantastic growing group of business people who are pursuing their dreams and are being financially successful in doing that. And the book sets out the revolution, explain, but also give practical tips on how you can also join the revolution and be one of these businesses. The best place to go to is Amazon, either amazon.co.uk or amazon.com. Just type The Freedom Revolution, Penina Shepherd, that's my name, and it will be there. I'm not going to be a millionaire from selling books. Very few people are millionaires from selling books. It's about spreading the passion.
The best way to follow what we're doing is to, well, do that. Follow us on social media. Our Twitter handle is @eSparkGlobal. And that's where you'll get most of the news and the links to our blog and calendar of events for Entrepreneurial Spark. Or today, the hashtag OpNox. Anyone can follow the OpNox events that are happening around the country.
You've been listening to the Brighton Business Show with Laura Evans on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, on DAB Radio or online at radioreverb.com, or even by podcast. Search iTunes or visit laura-brighton.podmatic.com to hear previous shows and catch up on those. Thank you to today's guests and contributors and to our sponsors Plus Accounting. Check out the show page on radioreverb.com or the copy in any podcast for the details of our guests and contributors, and find out more about other shows and donate to the station there too. Let me know if you have any interesting business news or events coming up. Tweet to me at Laura of Brighton. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next month.
Radio Reverb is very great because, well, they play a lot of great tunes. If you give us a donation, you can help us make it even better! Could you spend just £5 a month to help us make Radio Reverb the best radio station for Brighton, Hove, the Galaxy, and beyond? Radio Reverb needs you.